Good morning once again. If I haven't said good morning to you already, good morning to you first time. Amen. I'd like to start today's talk by telling you a story, something that happened in my life about 9 years ago. We had two boys and we had always wanted a girl. And we had kind of prayed and asked God, please give us a girl. We just want to have a complete family, just have a little woman in the house running around. So we prayed and God heard our prayers. And God gave us Joanna. Joanna was born, it was a very difficult pregnancy. It was a CS, so Lola had to stay in hospital for a bit longer. So we kept going to the hospital every day, every afternoon, every evening to see mommy and little Joanna. And then we got the best news of our lives. Tomorrow, mommy and baby are free to go. So we all got excited. But unknown to us, there was somebody in our home that wasn't very happy. And so the next day we got to the hospital, we got the car seats, we got the baby all wrapped up in all the pink, beautiful stuff, got the house all decorated, waiting for the girl to come. And my young son, Joel, came to me and said to me, Dad, do we really, really, really need to go home with this baby? And I said, yes. Your mom carried this baby for 9 months. We have been praying for many years for a girl. So we really, really, really need to go home with this baby. Then he kind of walked away and then came back with this beautiful look on his face. He said, Dad, I've got a solution. I says, what? About what? He says, about the baby. I said, okay, what's the solution? He said, why can't we just give the baby to the nurses? And they can look after the baby. We don't have to look after the baby. Then we can just go home and be our normal family. And it's about, can I have the word, please? And as Christians, this is something that happens to us. This word we sang earlier says, break my heart for what breaks yours. There is something that breaks the heart of God that unfortunately is not breaking our heart. Like little Joel. He wanted someone to look after him. He says, Dad, if we take this baby home, who's going to look after the baby? I said, me and your mom. He says, good. But who's going to look after me? And it's breaking his heart. He wanted someone to care for him, to love him. But that's all that concerns him. But his father, who's my humble self, something else was breaking my heart. And as the children of God, there are things that is breaking the heart of God that is not breaking our heart. We're like, oh God, if you just bless me and just look after me and just heal me and just do one or two more miracles, I'll be a great guy. And God is saying, yes, I want to do all that, but there's something I want you to do for me. This morning, brothers and sisters, I want to speak on personal evangelism, something that breaks God's heart. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned in one way or the other. And we've lost sight of salvation. And one day, God's love and mercy picked us from somewhere, cared for us, gave us faith and confidence in God, and we're holding on and saying, God, we love you. And yes, truly we do. We love God. We spend our time, our money, our resources for God's work. We genuinely and sincerely love God. So God is not looking at that part only. He's saying there are still people out there. My love is enough for everyone. What can you do to help me? And when we talk about evangelism, most people sit at the edge of their chair. Because the idea of evangelism to many people is that weird person standing on the street corner, screaming at the top of their voice and being angry with everyone that passes. You're on your way to hell. Come on, I'm going to drag you to heaven. And everyone says, no, leave me alone. Talks about the difficulty. But that's not the only form of evangelism. And we're going to be looking at those aspects. What I understand as God's genuine love for sinners. God's genuine love for sinners. Let me say this. Every Christian has a biblical responsibility to desire to and to walk with the Holy Spirit toward leading others into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Every Christian. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me. So the first step is your salvation. As soon as you get saved, the next step is that you will be an instrument of salvation to others. And you can say, I can preach the word of God. I don't even know the Bible enough. I just got saved. And if you look at the words that Jesus used in that scripture, he says, I will make you fishes. I. Meaning he is the one who's going to do the job. And when you go fishing, I told the story last time I spoke at evangelism about something that happened that got me very, very upset. I was taken to fishing and we spent hours trying to catch a fish. You know how difficult it is to catch a fish? You have to get the bait, you have to get the rod, you have to get everything on a cold day. And finally, after hours of trying, you had a great catch. And everyone was excited. But I was the most excited because the reason for fishing for me was something to eat. But for these other guys, it was just a game. So they catch this fish, they bring out their lovely cameras, they take lovely pictures, and they did the most terrible thing in my entire life. They threw the fish back in the water. Hey, hold on, wait. He says, no, he has to go in the water. Why? Because that's the law. So why are we here? I lost focus of the purpose of why we were there. I'm there to fish and eat. They are there to fish as an exercise, as something that gives them joy. But there's something about fishing that we need to understand. When we fish, we need to know the kind of fish that we are after. That determines the kind of bait that we use. You don't use the same bait for every fish. You want to catch a shark, for example, and you get this tiny rod and get this kind of little worm and just throw it in the sea. You'll be there all day. God understands this. What I'm trying to say is that your type of evangelism is determined by you. What is best for you? When I was young, I loved to go on the street. I still love doing that. I love to meet people that I don't know. A few weeks ago, I met this young lady who came and stood right in front of me like here and said, you're preaching about Jesus? I said, yes. I don't like Jesus. I said, well, I love him. You need to stop speaking about Jesus. I said, I can't. And Pastor Nick was standing behind me and he was all like, wow. And this young woman was going on and on. I have been disappointed. My heart has been broken and all my life has been destroyed. Where was Jesus? And when she said that, a few people around stopped. Says, yeah, tell the woman, where was Jesus? And I said, he's been in the same place where he has always been for 2,000 years. I said, where is that? In your heart. But I can't see him. You are not looking, I said to her. So personal evangelism is about your style. It's not about mine. There is no one who can teach you how to win souls except you. I can read all the scripture and tell you what I feel about evangelism, but your style is the only way that will bring your people to the house of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version. If you can have that Amplified Version, please. Thank you. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself. Now, the first thing about this is God has reconciled you to himself. So before you can speak about Jesus to anyone, there has to be a personal relationship between you and him. So you've been reconciled to God through Jesus. And look at what it says. I think I'll like the 19th verse now. It was God's. Okay, let me just complete this 18th verse. It says, now received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation, that by words and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Is that in the Bible? That the first thing God did is to bring you out and reconcile you with him So you can have a better, great, a fascinating life, and then you can sell this idea to others. You can bring these people who are meant to be your friends and your sisters to the knowledge of Christ. So you don't have to always go on the street to be an evangelist. By deed and works. First of all, is deed, your action. Somebody shared a testimony a few years ago, I think last year or so, in this church. She said, I became unwell and I had to go into hospital. And she said, Barbara made me soup. That's a deed. And she brought the soup to the hospital. That's a deed. And the soup was nice. That's the best part. And somebody might have seen Barbara and says, hello, madam, where are you going today? Say, I'm going to see a friend of mine. She's been under the weather in the hospital. And you made that? He said, yes. And you're going to give it to her? She said, yes. And you got a smile on your face? And she said, yes. When I want to part things, I get upset about parting things. I want to keep everything I have. I want to keep my soup. But because she's got Jesus, she has a heart to reach out to other people. And in these works that you're doing, other people will see them and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. By your works. So personal evangelism is not just by what you say, it's also by what you do. I can profess my faith so perfectly. I've got the right words. I can preach for hours and days. But how is your act? How do people see you? So when you want to win a soul, it's not just by what you say. How about what you do? Oh, you go into hospital, say, can I just pray for you? Says, yes, but I don't know you. Says, yes, but I still love you though. I want to pray with you. Can I speak to you? Say, yes. Spend 20 minutes of your time. Listen to somebody. And somebody said to me one day, it was a very difficult day at work. And I had a meeting to attend. And it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, about 4:30. And then I received this call. That meant I wouldn't be leaving the office till about 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. that day. I had a pre-booked meeting. And everyone in the office were very upset. Upset because no one can leave until that problem is resolved. And in my heart, I said, oh God, I have promised people I'm coming. This thing has been booked for like 2-3 months ahead. I know the dates are meant to be there, and now I can't go. And the devil said, you need to be upset with this system. Get upset with them. And I was beginning to get upset in my heart. But something said to me, you are not like this. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. By works and deed, show your good works so that they that see these good works will give thanks to your Father that is in heaven. Even though I am not happy in myself, my unhappiness can make other people unhappy. It does make other people unhappy. So I decided against what was physically easier for me to do that which was spiritually difficult. So I began to smile. And my consultant came into my office and says, you can still smile? And I said, yes. Even though I was struggling to smile, the word of God in me was giving me joy that it will be better. So when you are in this ministry of reconciliation, it's not all about you. It's exactly what God wants you to do. Verse 19, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses. Oh, you are a sinner. You are going to hell. It's easy. But God, through reconciliation, is not holding their sins, in some translation, against them. So what you say to people is not all about sin. It's about the power of forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. I remember preaching to somebody, I was about 19. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost, going about the street. Repent or go to hell. And I kept preaching and preaching. And this man stood in front of me and said, if I said to you, I want to go to hell, will you stop preaching? I says, no. He says, what am I going to do that will make you stop preaching because it was very noisy, I can tell you. I've got a megaphone. Those from Nigeria know what I'm talking about. You don't get arrested by the police, so don't worry. So you scream, repent, and everyone will, the whole, who is that? And the man says, but I don't want to go to heaven. You have to go to heaven, I said. Everybody must go to heaven. And that's my job, to get you to heaven. No, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to get anyone to heaven, including me. So God has said, I'm talking about the forgiveness of sin. I have forgiven them. All they need to do is confess the sin and accept me. All you do is tell them that. Now, verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Let me say something about an ambassador. I think about 15 years ago, my uncle was the church d'affaires, which is almost like an ambassador. We didn't have an ambassador in Germany at that time. So my uncle was holding the embassy. And I was going to fly from London to Berlin to see my uncle. And when I presented my passport, I didn't have a British passport at that time. I had a Nigerian passport, so I needed a visa. So I applied for a visa at the embassy. And I had a note at the back of a card. And I took the note to the embassy with the passport. And the lady asked me, do you work in Nigerian embassy? I says, no. She says, are you a relative of somebody who works in the embassy? I said, yes. I said, okay. So they took the passport in and they brought a kind of visa that they give to relatives of ambassadors. So I flew from London, got to Berlin, and we were in this queue. And suddenly it got to my turn. I don't speak any Dutch, so the guy was speaking in German, and I didn't understand a word. But I gave him my passport. I knew that was what he would probably be asking for. He opened the passport, and suddenly the man began to speak in English. How did you get this visa? He said. I said, well, I went to the embassy to get a visa. He says, are you a diplomat? I says, no, maybe now, I don't know. But before I left London, I wasn't. He said, you shouldn't get this visa. This is not the type of visa they give to people like you. This visa is for diplomats, people of national standing, people that represent a nation, which means by law, we are to open the entrance for you to come in. We're not supposed to stop you. We're not supposed to check your luggage. We're just supposed to let you in. But we think there's something wrong about this visa you're carrying. Yeah, there was something wrong. So Jesus is saying you have access by being a child of God to every benefit of the kingdom of heaven. So he said that. Look at this. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as it were through us. We as Christ's personal representatives. What a glorious thing to say. Everything that God has is made available to you through Christ. So he's saying, as an ambassador, you represent the kingdom of heaven on earth. I remember driving in Germany and slightly over speeding. Slightly. Just very slightly. And I've got these lovely police officers driving behind me. I think it was a 30 or 40 mile road. I drove around 50 or 60. I didn't really realize it. The car was quite, it was the car that was the problem, not me. And I observed that the police officers were only driving behind me. The light wasn't on. They couldn't tell me I was over speeding. And I said to my cousin, why are they following us? And he said, because you're driving very fast. I said, why are they not stopping us? He said, they can't stop us because you got a diplomatic plate. So we got to the shopping mall where they says everywhere, no parking. My cousin says, don't worry, you can park here. Everyone else can park there, but you can park there. I said, why? You got a diplomatic plate. There are benefits that God has given to us because we are his children. So the laws of this world physically can no longer hold us because we walk with a spiritual and a higher authority. So God is saying to us, if we can listen and obey, we will eat the good of the land. So how do we listen? By being personal evangelists. Some of us, I must say this, I used to be that at some point in my life, ashamed of the gospel. In the book of Matthew, there's a man there called Peter. He has said to Jesus, I will not leave you. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to stick with you till the end. And Jesus said, okay, we'll see about that. And one day, Jesus got arrested and he was being tried. And now there were soldiers there. They didn't ask him. They were probably governors and people of high standing there. They didn't ask him. It was a young woman. The young woman looked at Peter and says, "Oh, your face looks familiar." He says, "Nope, not my face." He says, no, look at me, look at me. I have seen you before. He says, "Me? Oh, no, I don't live in this city. I'm not from around this community." He said, come on. "You look like the man that walks with Jesus." He says, "What? Me walk with Jesus? No, it's not me." He said, "Are you sure about this? Because I think I saw you last week." He says, "Please don't put me in any kind of trouble. I don't want to try. I just came here to watch this man being sentenced. And I'm not here to do any other thing. Please leave me alone." And the lady said, "Come on, man. I have never made a mistake. I recognize people very quickly. I think you are that man." She says, "No, it's not me." Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." It's easy in a modern society to be ashamed of that gospel. It's easy to go, "So come on, are you a Christian?" He says, well, what do you mean? No. I mean, are you a Christian? He says, "No, in what sense? Do you go to church?" He says, "Yeah, when I have time." "Are you born again?" "Well, I'm on the process." Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Every opportunity that God gives me to talk to anyone, the first thing you'll find out is I am a Christian. I am not ashamed. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believes." It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," the good news of Christ. "For it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes." To how many? To some people? To everyone that believes. And God expects us. First thing, I can't go on the street, John, but I want to serve Jesus. Start from your house. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you, paraphrasing now, and it will make you witnesses. The first thing the Holy Ghost will do for you is to make you a witness. But you will say, "But I cannot preach in the community." First, in Jerusalem, among your friends, people you are comfortable to share with. We are not all caught out to be out on the street. I read a book by T.L. Osborne many years ago. It says, "Out where the sinners are." But I says, no, there are sinners in here too. In my home, within my family. Not everyone in my family is born again. Not everyone in my family is born again. And I'm still praying. He will come to church. I've got my immediate younger brother. He will come turn up to church. But he's always in church for the wrong reasons. But I still preach to him. I won't say, "Oh no, you see, this is my faith. It is very personal to me." In some sense, that is true. Your salvation, your faith is personal to you, but your salvation is not. Is somebody hearing me? Your faith is personal to you, but your salvation is not. It's given to you by God, and God expects it to extend out to everyone. The Holy Ghost came down and made you witnesses first. From the beginning, my understanding of the Bible is that God expects us to do three things as Christians. The first thing is to intercede, pray for one another. And the second thing is the ministry of reconciliation. Two things: the ministry of intercession and the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to speak about three other points as I'm beginning to round up now. Number one, get excited about sharing your faith. For those who are married amongst us, you remember the first few weeks of marriage. First few months, and you want to introduce your wife to everyone. "Oh, hello, Patrick. How are you today? Have you met my wife? I just got married last week." Say, "Hallelujah." And when somebody says to you, "Oh, I heard you got married last week. Is that your wife?" You say, No. "That's my wife over there." You are so filled with that joy that you can't stop talking about your wife. You got a mobile phone, you got her face on the screen. You get to work, you get a picture, and straight on the computer. You want to do everything for everyone to know who she is. So the same thing, as soon as you give your life to Christ, you need to be excited. It's the same feeling. Get excited about it.
I said, oh, but I don't have any scripture to share. I don't even know the Bible. You don't need the Bible to preach. You need your story. There was a blind man. They came to this man and they asked him a question. They says, is this man the son of God? The man says, I don't know. But what I know is this. I was blind, but now I can see. There is what connects God to us. It's his power. See, I don't know who this man is, but this is what I know. I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. That's the story you carry. I was rejected and dejected and cast out, but today I belong to a family of Jesus Christ. That's all you need. A young woman came to me. She just gave her life to Christ some years back, and she said, I have never been as happy as I am right now. I know some of you may say, but that's not my story. I have been a Christian for 20 years or 30 years or 5 years, but I don't see this joy. That's possible. And the reason why is sometimes we're not looking at the right places. I was going for an interview once, and we were asked to come with our passport. And I searched the passport, for the passport in the whole house. And I couldn't find it. And it's good. I was before the interview, and I forgot about everything. I can't find my passport. And somebody just said, call Lola. So I said, pick the phone and say, Lola, I can't find my passport. She said, oh, look at the second drawer, open it on the left side, the passport is there. He knows where your joy is. You may not find that joy because you're not asking him. He doesn't need to think. He tells you where the joy is. One day I was in my house. I got a phone call that my mother had passed away at the young age of 65. Very sad. And the scripture that came to my heart is, whatever the Lord does is good. How do you reconcile whatever God does with my dead mother? I should be in tears. But no, I'm not looking at the things that God is looking at. The thing that is breaking God's heart is not breaking my heart. The thing that connects God to me is not connecting me with God. Get excited. Number two, pray for opportunities to share your faith. Pray for opportunities to share your faith. So, am I going to lose a friend? Maybe. I don't know. But you might win a soul. I had a friend called Alex many years ago. I loved Alex from the depth of my heart. I have never loved a friend the way I loved Alex. All my days back home in the Polytechnic, Alex was my friend. I was a scripture union leader, but Alex was an unbeliever. Alex will never talk about Jesus. And he was still my friend, and I still loved him. One day, the Lord said to me, you need to speak to Alex now. I've known him for 5 years. Why now? The Lord said, you need to speak to Alex today. So I got myself ready, straight, and I went to Alex's house. And for hours, I preached the gospel. I knew there were two things that were likely to happen. It's either I gained Alex for Jesus, or I break our friendship. But I was going to take that risk. So I preached and preached and preached and preached until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And Alex looked at me and said, John, I'm not caught out for this. I don't believe all this. You look, somebody is, your mind is not right. You need to listen to me. I said, Alex, I know what I'm saying. And these were my last words to Alex. I said, Alex, you've had the opportunity today because the Bible says salvation is available today. I said, you might not have this opportunity again tomorrow. And he looked at me and smiled. And he says, I will give my life to Jesus tomorrow. So you come back tomorrow. I'm going to Benin. We're in Abuja. And it's about a 6 hours drive to go to Benin. He said, I'll come back from Benin tomorrow in the afternoon. You come tomorrow evening and I'll give my life to Jesus. Since you said tomorrow might be too late. And I'm going to prove to you that tomorrow is never too late. So Alex went to Benin. On his way back, he had a car accident and he died. At 4 o'clock, I went back to Alex's house. And me and his parents were there. We waited for Alex. The whole evening, he didn't turn up. Those days, we didn't have a GSM. We didn't have a mobile phone, so you can reach anyone on the phone. So I went back home, came back the next day. A few days later, we got the news. Alex had died. My heart
broke into pieces. I had the opportunity to save him and I let it go. I'm not sure if he gave his life to Christ. Maybe he did. I'll be happy when I see him get to heaven. But he said to me, I will give my life tomorrow. And I believed. God says to us, I am not a man that I should lie, or the son of man that I should turn away from what I have said. If God has said there is today is the day of salvation, he means every part of it. I lost my friend Alex just because I loved him too much to break his heart. So when he said to me, I'll give my life tomorrow, I let him go. But if I know what I know now, I'll say, no. Alex, let's talk about this. Today is your opportunity. You might be willing to give it tomorrow. I might not be here. You remember the story of the rich man who had a barn full of stuff. The Bible says he broke down the barn and built a bigger barn. And he said to his servant, I will stock all my stuff in this barn and I will walk no more. And I will sit in the comfort of my house and enjoy my wealth. And the Bible says that day, the owner of his life came to him and said to him in a very kind way. He says, hello, Mr. Millionaire. Today is the day I'm taking you. And the Bible says, those who didn't know how he stocked those stuff enjoyed it. Tomorrow sounds like just 24 hours away. But today may be the last time I speak to you about this. And that's the power of salvation. That every man must be allowed to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number three. Pray for a specific person and their heart. You got a friend, you got a sister, you got a neighbor who don't know Jesus. Pray for them. I used to have this neighbor. The wife was Christian. The husband was Muslim. And I always prayed for them in my house. They didn't know I was praying for them. I was praying for them. I was like, God, will you just speak to this family? I love them because they're very nice, very lovely. They are the best couple you can have as a neighbor. They are everything good. So we began to pray for them. And one day, the husband came and knocked at my door. And he says, oh, hello, John. I said, hello. He says, I'm your new neighbor. I said, yes, I've been seeing you around. And he said the most incredible thing. He said, can I be your friend? Very unusual. I said, yes, you can be my friend. And then he became my friend. Then we began to talk to him a bit about Jesus. He's like, you know, I'm from a very terrible country. If I were to give my life to Jesus, they'll kill my father. They'll kill my mother and all the other stuff that they can do to us. So I can't. Not because I don't believe you, but I've got this burden. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But it's about you and your life. And he said something to me that I said, God, you're a good God. He said, do you know something? I've been married for 10 years. I don't have a child. And I know your God can do it. My God can do it. He said, yes. You believe my God can do it? He said, yes. I said, okay, I'll pray for your wife. So he brought his wife upstairs and we began to pray. They've done IVF about 4 times. It didn't work. So we started praying and trying to preach Jesus to them at the same time. And one day the wife came to us. And I think Lola was pregnant with Joel. And she said, I see that your wife is struggling because of her pregnancy. Can I help in the house? I said, oh, okay. What do you like to do? She said, I want to clean your whole house for free. You want to clean the whole house? She was a French woman. You want to clean our house for free? She said, yes. Just get Lola to come downstairs and I'll. And this woman got a shot, knelt down and scrubbed the floor. She was mopping the whole house. When she finished, it was like we got some bliss cleaners to come clean the house. It was sparkling. And she said to me on her way downstairs, she said, just ask your God to give me a child. You did all this because you want God? You don't need to do all this. God was still going to give you a child. She said, but you have been praying, but God hasn't answered. And I said, do you believe that God will answer you? She said, yes. I said, then that's it. She said, is that it? I said, yes. She said, what do I do now? And I said, the most crazy thing that I hope I never say again. I said, go and do a pregnancy test. She said, what? I said, yes. Go and do a pregnancy test. She said, am I pregnant? She says, I believe so. And she went and did a pregnancy test. And a few days later, she came to the house. She knocked on the door, and I opened the door. And she was standing at the other side of the door with a letter in her hand, with tears dropping down her eyes. And I said, Sandrine, what's the matter? She said, Sandrine, what is the matter? No words. And the husband came from the back. put his hand across and put his face down. And I said, Hassan, what happened? And they looked at me, and two of them tears dropping down. And they says, what manner of God is this? My wife is pregnant. It's the power of God unto salvation to every man that believes. There are certain things that are unthinkable, but when you stretch forth your faith in the praise of preaching, you command the power of God unto salvation. Let me close by saying this. There are people that are not hungry. You don't feed them. I'll repeat this. If someone is not hungry, they don't need food. There are people around us who are hungry, and we need to give them food. They're not just hungry for the kind of food that you and I know. They are hungry for salvation, but they don't know. Jesus met a woman at the well, and Jesus said to the woman, can you give me water? For I'm thirsty. And the woman told all the whole story that we normally tell. Well, you know, you're a Jew. I'm not Jew. I can give you water. You have to come in the night. I come in the morning. All this stuff. And Jesus, understanding that the reason why he was asking was because he wasn't thirsty, she was. So Jesus says, well, if you not give me this water, I will give you an everlasting water. Whoever drinks of these will thirst no more. He says, come on, I want that water. If you drink of these, you will thirst no more. And Jesus began to tell the woman the story of her life. And she said, I know. She ran to the city and screamed on the top of her voice. That which she was looking for, she's found now. A man that can tell her the story of her life. There are people around us, all they are looking for is somebody who will tell them, come to Jesus. That's the only thing that is missing. I read a book about this Asian billionaire who had everything, and he was just not happy. He had everything. He had yachts, he had planes, but he wasn't happy. And he decided to try everything. And after he had tried everything, he said to himself, I think I'll try this Christianity. So he went into a church, and they finished preaching, and he walked to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, I have everything. He don't tell that to pastors, because pastors have use for everything. He said, I've got everything, but I am not happy. I said, what? You sure you got really everything? He said, yes. You have everything? He said, listen, this is my bank account. I got that. This is my wife. I've got children. I've got this yacht. I've got planes. I've got houses. I've got everything. But I am not happy. And the man said, have you got Jesus? He said, come on, please. Let's forget about Jesus. I want something that will make me happy. It's about me here. And the man said, I can't make you happy. But he can. If you haven't got him, you have got nothing. For he that is joined to all the living, there is hope. If you're connected to God, there is hope. So sinners who are our friends and our sisters and our brothers are out there with us. We know their names and we can't speak to them, but we can pray for them. Oh, I've got Sister Leanne. Father, will you touch her heart? This is the prayer I wrote. Please soften their heart. Cause them to be hungry for you. Open their eyes to see the good plans you have for them. Help me to be a light to show them the way. Help me to be the light that showed them the way. The Bible says, if your light be darkness, how grave would that darkness be? So if you're leading someone in the dark, the first time my wife traveled to my village, I'm not sure she's ever been to a place that is so dark. Where I come from is so dark at about 7 p.m. that if I was standing here and you're standing there, you can't see me. It's that dark. And the first thing she said to me, I think it was Joel that slept and woke up. He was sleeping beside myself and my wife, and he tapped me. He said, Dad, I said, yes. What is it? He said, I think I have gone blind. And I said, what? He said, Dad, because my eyes are open and you're lying next to me and I can't see you.
So I said to the Lord, because I believed. Because even though I couldn't see him, I'm used to not seeing anyone in the dark. I'm good with hearing your voice. So I said to Lola, where's your phone? I got the phone out and I turned the light on and I said, he said, oh, I can see you, Dad. So if your light is darkness, if you that is meant to lead other people is dark, how do you expect them to see you in the midst of darkness? They can't see you. So you need to be the light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on top of the hill that cannot be hidden. So when you make up your mind to lead people, it's the light of God that shines through you that the world sees. So at work, this is, wow, this lady is different. This guy is different. On the bus, I had a very unusual experience one day. This young man got into on the train and just sat next to me and just put his feet across straight away. And there was this pregnant woman who was standing. They came in together, who had no place to sit because this young man had put his feet on the chair. So I said to the young man, excuse me, sir, do you want to put your feet down so this woman can sit down? No. I said, okay, can you take your feet off the seat? Let me get up from my seat so that the woman can sit down on my seat. He said, nope, let her stand. He says, what? I said, she's pregnant, can't you see? And everyone on the train kept quiet. They want to see the drama. And at this point, I was getting very upset. And I couldn't physically remove this guy and throw him out because I was wearing a suit. And everyone is going to say, you're a gentleman, you don't do that. So I kind of said, okay, sir, can you take my seat, because the seat in front of me was empty, and put your feet on that seat, and then I'll get up for the woman to sit down. And he said, no. And at this point, I was losing patience. That's the problem with being a Nigerian. We got this short fuse. He kind of burned out work very quickly. And I said, my fuse was already burning out. And I said, God, you need to help me here. You need to really, really help me here. And the woman said to me, sir, don't worry. I'm coming off at the next stop. It's actually good for me to stand. And I said, no, but what he's doing is wrong. And the woman said, sir, I know. I'm a Christian, she said. And I was getting my fuse burnt out. She said, I'm a Christian. And these things will happen to us. And I said, I'm also a Christian. She says, I know. When you have light in you, it cannot be hidden. You stand for what is right, for what is true, for what is God. So in your deed, you reach out to souls. In your walks, you reach out to soul. In your conversation, you reach out to soul. Let's stand up on our feet. Sorry if I've taken too much of your time today. The word of evangelism is dear to my heart. It's something that I crave the opportunity to speak to at all times, to speak about at all times. And when I get the opportunity, I want you to understand that my style is not your style. Your friends are not my friends. God has made you the way you are because of the kind of people he's put around you. So you don't need to change from what you are or from who you are to try to be me. You have to be yourself. And the story you need to tell, it's not my story. Well, you can borrow some of my story. But it's your story. That is all that God wants you to do. Tell somebody your story. Let's close our eyes. Father, please soften our hearts as we are hungry for you. Open our eyes to the good plan you have for our friends and our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors and our colleagues. Help us to be that light that showed them the way. Father, without you, we can do nothing. We ask for your help this afternoon. We ask for clarity. That person that needs to know you, who we know, we ask for courage, the right attitude, the right words, the right time. Put this fire in our heart that is in your heart, that you send your son to die for. that we might be reconciled with you. Father, I pray this afternoon for all our hearts. Make this our desire. I want to specifically pray for those who are confused on what to do. Father, even I don't know what to do most of the time. I ask that you give us guidance. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, fill our thoughts, fill our imaginations, so that as the fishes are different, we learn the best style and the best bait to present to catch this fish for you. Let us not be discouraged. For the many times we have tried and failed, let our walks be clear to people that we are your children. Regina, please come forward. I've got this in my heart that there are people here who are saying, I want to speak to people, but I haven't got the confidence. I haven't got the right things to say. We want to pray with you. If you want to just step out, say, okay, come. I want to know what to say. Father, just put it in my heart. Put it in my spirit. Give me the courage, the ability to do your will in my own way, without pressure, without stress. Please come forward, and Regina will pray with you. Please come forward. Why the musicians just...
I had a wonderful, strong coffee before I came to church this morning, and then somebody went to Costa and got me a lovely, strong coffee. So I'm actually beginning to feel a bit... a bit shaky. Feeling slightly wired. For those of you who don't know, today is a very special day, apart from it being Sunday, the Lord's Day. It is also Father's Day. Yes. How about that? There's a wonderful verse in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul begins this passage. It starts at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It seems sort of somehow appropriate today to, on Father's Day, to remember that we serve a God who is a Father and who has a Father's heart towards us. I love this thing of from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And when I was born, I took on my father's name, Suster. And here we are, of those born again into the kingdom of God. And we've taken on a wonderful new name, this name of Jesus. And it's a wonderful privilege, a wonderful, precious thing that in taking on, in receiving this incredible name of Jesus and becoming followers of him, that we have access to the Father. And this verse goes on in this prayer, that he would grant you, this Father, grant you according to the riches of his glory. And it's just great this morning to realize that not only do we have this wonderful Father in heaven, but he's a Father who is rich in glory towards us, and he has precious and wonderful things for us today. So let's pray. Shall we stand this morning, and shall we pray? Father God, on this day where we remember fathers and fatherhood, we want to come to you and remember and acknowledge and appreciate you as our wonderful and precious Father. We thank you this morning that you are the best. You are the best of fatherhood. You are the very model of fatherhood to us. You are generous. You are kind. You are firm. You are holy. You are glorious. You are merciful. You are perfect.
Wonderful.
Father God, we pray, would you come by the Holy Spirit today? Yes. Would you refresh in our own hearts this sense of belonging to your precious, wonderful family, with access to the glories of heaven? Holy Spirit, would you come amongst us today? Would you meet with us? Would you change us? Would you transform us? Would you make us more into the likeness of this wonderful, wonderful Father? Amen. Thank you, Lord. In the prayer meeting this morning, Vicky had this thing about the people bringing the palm leaves and laying them before Jesus as he came into Jerusalem before he died, and he felt before Calvary. And she just felt that there were things that that we needed to come and lay before God, that he would come. That he would come afresh into our lives and into our church. And just singing this Hosanna song just reminds me of this, that as we sing this, let's just ask God to show us these things that he wants us to bring and lay before him. That there's this great thing I love about Jesus, that you know, sometimes there are things we need to give up so we might receive more of him. But it's always worth it. You know, what he's got is so much better than he's ever asking us to give. So as we just continue to worship and continue this, let's just ask God to show us these wonderful things.
Hosanna is a welcoming song. It's what they sung as Jesus came into the streets of Jerusalem. They were singing, they were laying down the palm leaves, and they were saying, Yah is Savior. Hosanna, it means God is our Savior. So let's personalize this. And God is obviously speaking to us about laying things down before him. Let's lay down our wills. Let's lay down our tiredness. Let's lay down our burdens. Let's lay down our anxiety, whatever it is today. And let's get caught up in this King that is coming in. He wants to come into, as he wanted to come into Jerusalem, he wants to come into our hearts this morning.
6 verse 13. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, keep this commandment without stain or reproach until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. He who is blessed and the only sovereign one, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone is immortal and dwells in unapproachable light. No one has ever seen him, nor can anyone see him. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Offering now as we continue to worship. If you're a taxpayer, there are envelopes at the back. If your gift is more than £20, I think, pop in an envelope, we can reclaim the tax. If you're visiting them, please don't feel under any obligation to give. But let's continue to worship. In a sense, the offering is this tangible part of our service where we give something of ourselves to God. You know, it's good to do this acknowledging what we owe him, in a sense, acknowledging how much he loves us, the price he's paid for us. We're giving just a little something tangible of ourselves back to him. But that, Lord, would you use our gifts and our offerings, Lord God, for your glory. Amen.
We're going to sing as we take the offering this morning. We're going to sing God is So Good. Who believes God is good? He is a good God. And sometimes we maybe tritely sometimes say all the time. But it's true, isn't it? Whatever your circumstances, however you're feeling this morning, God is good. He is always good. His mercies are new every morning. NK just wanted to share a little bit about God's goodness.
Amen.
And then we're going to sing this.
Just a little testimony. Sometime towards the end of November last year, my husband was applying for a resettlement visa. And the amount that's needed to pay for it is astronomical, but we didn't have a penny to our name. And we start to worry, start to panic, start to think, okay, if we leave this to the end of it, that's it. He's going to be sent home. But anyway, you know, when God says, I will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, he wasn't joking there. He was not joking. Meanwhile, before that, we were already struggling with our finances. Bills are missed and, you know, things are not getting done. But can I just take this opportunity to say so much heartfelt thank you to my brethren in this church. They actually made sure that I had food on the table. They made sure that my bills are paid. They made sure that... I just want to say thank you For those of you that are praying for me because you knew my circumstances, you prayed for me, you cancelled me, you loved me, you gave me phone calls, and you gave me money, food, everything that I needed. That's when God says, I will supply all your needs. I didn't know how he was going to do that, but he did that. But to my greatest surprise, the bill for that, the bill for the Home Office was paid by somebody. The amount is £2,500 was paid from this church. Somebody in this church paid it. I don't know how. I don't even have enough thank you to say to this person and everybody else that's been there for me. But anyway, time went by. Sometime this year, I completely forgot about it. Those of you who you've heard about PPI, insurance you paid with your credit cards and all of that, I was not expecting that at all. Suddenly, a letter came from Barclays Bank and I opened it and they were talking about this and how we're sorry, we didn't get it right the first time, we should have got it right and we apologize and, you know, this and that and the other. And at the end of it, there was a check. I turned and there was a check, a considerable amount of check. My jaw dropped. That is God. I wasn't expecting it, but it came bang on time. God is never too late. So when he says, I will supply all your needs, you better believe it. You don't know how. I don't know how he's going to do it. But one thing he asks of you is to trust him. Trust him in every situation and circumstance. He will come through for you. Mm. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Shall we rise up? As we take our offering. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time,
God is good.
Like NK said, no matter the situation or circumstance you're experiencing, just believe that God is good. He's always good.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand, shall we? God is good.
Just a few notices this morning. First of all, if you're a visitor and would like us to keep in touch with you, there is a welcome to new life little white piece of paper thingy that you can fill in. If you complete it and pop it into the wooden box on the information point at the back, then we will keep in touch with you. If you are a taxpayer and you give to the church and would like us to receive the tax back and you haven't completed a tax gift aid declaration form, again, if you could do that, that would be lovely. The forms are on the information point at the back again. If you complete that, and I guess if you pop it into the same, got my reading glasses on, can't really see, the same wooden box so at the back there, then we'll make sure it gets to the right person. Joe. Yes.
Okay. Carity Wood, just very quick here. Various things, just very quickly. Daniel was asking us about Carity Wood this morning, so we told him a bit about it, and he listened for a minute, and then he said, I have dreamed of this. So his dreams are going to come true, hopefully, next week, when he comes to Carity Wood. So I've sent out the final instructions to everybody who's coming on our... This is our kids and youth camp, if you don't know us. I've sent out all the instructions via email. If you haven't got them, I've got more details and kit lists and stuff with me if you want to find me afterwards. My big thing to say this morning is please, if you're coming in the coach, and almost everybody is coming on the coach, you need to not be late because you might get left behind. And we did famously leave someone behind one year. Fortunately, they it wasn't Bob, but it was someone related to him. And fortunately, she got a lift down because there was somebody going late. But that may not happen this year. So you really, really, really need to come by about 5:15 or 5:30 on Friday. So you need to be all packed up on Thursday night. So you run in from school on Friday, grab your stuff and go. That's the plan, okay? Otherwise, we're not going to make it down. There's only one coach. So there isn't an early and a late one. There's just one, okay? It's a huge, massive luxury coach, okay? So I'm going to email out to all the leaders who are coming sort of instructions, because we've never had so many children and teenagers coming and so few helpers. So I could make the speech that Churchill did about you know, never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few, but it's very relevant. So I'm going to write to those few this week and let them know all their various duties. Not only are they giving up their weekend to come and help, not only are they paying to do that, but they're going to have to work the weekend as well. So I'll do that this week. Everybody's got a task, tribe and ablaze and flame. We're doing special Sunday meetings this morning, special getting ready for Carity Wood meetings this morning. But tribe and ablaze, particularly as young leaders, we've got tasks for you. So we're going to sort of run through those this morning as well. We massively, like NK, gave a very heartfelt thanks this morning. Could we thank the many people who have sponsored Carity Wood 2019? I think we should clap and give them a round of applause. Because the giving has been really incredible, and many, many of the kids coming, families coming, have needed help to come. There's also been amazing just love gifts to families where just people wanted to help other people, which has just been fantastic. Without this, we just wouldn't have the numbers coming who are coming. And the children coming, I think, from 6 different churches I worked out, mostly from New Life, but from 6 other churches as well. There's one little boy who's coming all the way from France. He's traveling all the way over, little Matt, who's probably not so little anymore, and he's coming over on that Friday because he's so desperate to be there. So that's fantastic. He's the one who's coming the furthest, I think, which makes getting to the coach outside down in Kentish Town quite, you know, seem less of a journey. So finally, could the kids and youth coming, we're going to say this morning, but we need you to be the friendliest kids and youth on earth, because the other children who are coming are in the minority, and they'll feel it's your camp, and we need you to love them and make friends with them and for them to feel just so welcome. I know you've done that brilliantly in the last 2 or 3 years, so that would be great. And finally, please pray for us. We have a vision over the last 2 or 3 years of these burning coals together on the fire. This is our vision for Carity Wood, that we would, our hearts, our own hearts, would catch a light with this fire of Jesus, and then we would burn together. Those coals can never burn alone. They've got to be together or they're going to go out. And that together God would move in our hearts over the weekend. We're very, very excited about it. But please, please pray for us as we go. I think that's everything. Brilliant.
Well done, Jane. Thank you. It struck me as we were singing that song, again, that Hosanna song this morning, that there's that verse about, I see a generation. And I was thinking about those climate change sort of protests and, you know, gatherings around cities around the globe. And wouldn't it be wonderful if young people were as motivated by the kingdom of God to gather and, you know, to come together and ask for God's kingdom to come. And to see that move in the young people, just as they've been stirred on this big sort of issue of climate change, that this even fantastically bigger issue of the kingdom of God would touch their hearts. And in a small way, we're praying that that'll happen next weekend at Carity Wood. Nick?
Okay, very quickly, where's that prayer meeting, healing, revival, prayer thing? There we go. Tuesday the 2nd of July. This is an innovation. That means a new thing. On a Tuesday night, probably going to do this once a month, but we wanted to have a midweek meeting where we could come and seek God for needs. And that could be any kind of need. We put healing down as one, but we also want to pray for revival, personal revival. We need that more than healing, actually, that we need to be personally revived. So if you're feeling a bit dry, if you're feeling a bit backslidden, if you need more of God, then that's where to be. Tuesday the 2nd of July. We will be praying for the sick, and we'll be praying for other things as well. We'll be praying, we'll be praising, we'll be healing, we'll be really seeking God that day. And just one final thing. There's a certain gentleman here who thought that he'd slip through the net, because last week, 2 weeks ago, do you remember it was Bob shamelessly revealed Elizabeth's age? Do you remember that sign that went? I'm not going to tell you what it is. Do you remember that sign that went up? Well, I mean, is it hypocritical, Bob, do you think? I don't know. Someone gave a talk on that. But anyway, he's not going to get away with it. So, Pat, here we go. It's the big 6-0 for Bob Suster.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Fantastic, fantastic. Were you wanting to say a few words, Pat?
Okay.
Keep it short, bro.
Hello. I just want to thank you for Bob. He's a really great brother. He's a really good elder for his church. He does a lot of things for church. So I really want to pray for you this morning, Bob, all right?
Thank you. It's obvious.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Bob, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he does a lot of work for the church, Lord Jesus. Pray, Lord, as he has a birthday. Yeah, I think it was a couple of days ago, Lord. But just pray, Lord Jesus, bless him for this year ahead, Lord Jesus, that especially with his job, Lord Jesus, and all the things he does in the church, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you for him this morning. And everybody said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that wasn't on the list of notices, Nick. Terrible. Terrible. I'm keeping an eye on that cake. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for your patience. Sorry? Prayer meeting Tuesday. Yep, we've got that. 7:30, Highgate Road Chapel, Tuesday. Be there. Fantastic. But now time for the babies, toddlers, teenagers and children to go to their respective groups and...